I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, Semi Bird doesn't have the courage or the moral clarity to admit that he did something wrong, so instead he whines and blames everyone else.
Jason Rantz is supposedly a conservative, but he uses his show, Brandi Cruz, all of them. I got in the way of Dave Riker, and so now they will ruin my life.
Plus, Adrian Diaz is out as Seattle's police chief, and the Democratic Secretary of State, Steve Hobbs, caught on a hot mic saying Bob Ferguson, the attorney general who wants to be governor, swore at him while pushing him to break the law. That and more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Whew, we got a show for you today. I do want to start in the city of Seattle. Police Chief Adrian Diaz is out. I'm not going to talk about this too much only because he's having a press conference where the city is at 1 p.m. This news came down late last night. He is no longer going to be police chief, but he's going to go into some sort of special assignment role, which to me just means that he's looking for kind of a soft exit. You know, I am... of two minds about what has happened with the Seattle Police Department and Chief Diaz. Chief Diaz has always been very kind to me. He's been a friend of this show. He's come on this show. But I said all along, and I said leading up to his hiring, that there were a lot of people within the department who didn't think he's qualified for the job and who felt like he was sort of a diversity hire. He'd been just pushed up really quickly through the ranks, sort of riding, riding the coattails of Carmen Best a little bit. And, you know, I get it. I see some merit in that. But because of that, a lot of the rank and file never really liked or accepted him. And a lot of the old guard at SPD, man, they were vicious behind the scenes. There were stories about Adrian Diaz coming out every day. You would not believe the number of stories that old sources of mine with SPD would try to push that I just felt like weren't accurate and we never went with. You know, there were a lot of rumors about him and affair rumors and stuff that I knew weren't accurate. And now all these lawsuits against him. So I feel bad for him in that sense. I don't think anyone ever gave him a chance to be able to kind of do his job in the way that he wanted to. But I also understand some of the frustration that maybe they felt like he was elevated for reasons other than his quality and capability. But the bottom line is, you know, while all that drama is going on, Seattle's in a public safety crisis. They have probably 600 fewer officers than they need to have. And having, you know, no clear leader at the top isn't going to help that moving forward. And you know how Seattle does this with the SPD hiring and all of that, where they go through, oh, it's like a panel and we'll do a nationwide search and we'll recommend people to hire and all of this. And then we'll come in and it takes forever. And I'm sure it's going to end up being like, at this point, you can't hire a white police chief. You just can't do it in the city of Seattle. So I'm sure that's going to be, you know, part of it. DEI is always going to play a factor in it, as opposed to the person who can get the rank and file to feel like they're supported, that they can go out there, that they can do their jobs, that have the respect of them. So I don't know what's going to happen. So you can feel how you want to feel about... this is funny. Sorry, there's a comment that made me crack up. You can feel how you want to feel about Adrian Diaz, whether he was qualified for the job. He was always kind to us. You know, he put up with a lot of crap to be able to get that job, and now he's stepping away. So we'll find out at 1 p.m. how forced it was, and then where the department is going to go from there. The SPD, they just can't get a break. Why are you smiling over there, Nicole? Are you looking at the same comments I am?
I think I did.
Oh, you buckle up, buttercups, because we're getting into it coming up next. But so we'll see what he does. I'm sure he's close to retirement, so the special assignments role is probably in there. So we'll see what the city has to say. But in the meantime, the rest of us are just still dealing with public safety issues. I went to Seattle before the show today, and as soon as I got into city limits, I'm like, gross. I mean, the quality of life issues are clear and instant. Are there areas of Seattle that aren't like that? Of course. But where I was in South Lake Union certainly was not one of them. So Seattle PD over the last 15 years that I've been here, it's always something. It's always something. They can't just have like a smooth running ship without the political nonsense to be able to do their jobs. If it's not the consent decree with the federal government, it's, you know, the CHOP and all, Carmen Best resigning. And it's just a mess. It's a whole disaster. Oh, this is so funny. LMAO. I'm just here for the lies Brandy's going to spew. Well, welcome, because you're contributing to our clicks and we sure do appreciate it. So let's dive into the Sammy Bird news. I don't care why you're here. I don't care why you're commenting. Oh, you think I care? So here's the deal. Look, Sammy Bird is a footnote to me. I'm not going to talk about this story in the context of me believing that it's going to make a difference in the August primary. Sammy Bird is going to lose in the August primary, and then he'll do what every other losing Republican candidate in Washington state does, and he'll go find an even higher office to seek, because it wasn't him. It wasn't just that he was a bad candidate. It was people must not have, election was stolen from me, or whatever it is. Now he'll probably run for president. So that's what we'll look forward to. Here's the thing, though. Jason Rantz, our friend over at KTTH, whose journalistic integrity is impeccable. Now, Jason is a commentator. Of course, he gives his opinion. He's a conservative commentator. But if you read what he does, if you listen to what he does, his journalistic sensibilities are impeccable. The man does not get things wrong. And he puts a lot of effort and a lot of energy, more so than probably any other host, talking head in the market, into making sure that what he's doing has been vetted to the fullest extent possible. So Jason Rantz dropped quite the blockbuster investigation. It was several thousand words. It was clear that they'd spent a lot of time looking into this on gubernatorial candidate Sammy Bird. Rantz exclusive: Sammy Bird reprimanded for fraud against the U.S. Army after stolen valor claims. Now, I encourage you to go read the article for yourself. As I said, it's very, very long. Jason did a good job with it. I mean, they even hired outside experts to sort of help them investigate some of the military aspects of this that he might not have fully understood on his own. But it's clear that Jason Rantz got his hands on some documents. And this tells the whole story to me. Here's the deal. Sammy Bird defrauded the U.S. Army. He admitted to it. He admitted to it in a 2009 letter. There's no way around that. I'm not here to debate you on whether he committed stolen valor and defrauded the U.S. Army, because he admitted to it. So that's not a debate I'm open to having. Now, Jason's article goes into a lot of different things. In fact, two Army Green Berets, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for what they do for this country, two Army Green Berets came out and spoke to Jason Rantz, basically saying that Sammy Bird is a fraud. That in Operation Iraqi Freedom, in order to get some of the big meritorious awards that he brags about on the campaign trail, he lied about what he did on the field of battle. Not only did he lie, according to them, about what he did on the field of battle, he took credit for things other soldiers did on the field of battle in order to get these awards that he now brags about in order to run a political campaign. And look, you can have disagreements. You can come up with all the reasons in your mind why two Green Berets might want to lie about Sammy Bird or have some sort of vendetta against Sammy Bird. That's fine. But what you can't argue with, as I said, is the fact that Sammy Bird would wear around medals that he had not earned and that he committed, by his own admission, stolen valor. In the truest sense of the word. Jason Rantz has all the documents to prove it. And one of the documents is from the 11th of December, 2009. It's from a Brigadier General, Department of Defense. It goes to Sammy Bird. I'll read just a portion of it. Again, the whole thing is linked in Jason's article. And this is a reprimand. It says, you are hereby reprimanded for your following actions, specifically that you wore awards and badges that you had not earned, that you noted those awards in official military records, that you signed three non-commissioned officer evaluation reports for rating periods in which you were not assigned to the unit, that you signed and certified as accurate a DA form which you knew to contain false and inaccurate information, that you made false official statements, and that you submitted a warrant officer application with false and inaccurate information with the intent to deceive. Your actions represent a serious departure from the high standards of integrity and professionalism expected of a Special Forces soldier in this command. Your conduct in this matter causes me to seriously consider your suitability for continued service as a soldier in the United States Army. Those aren't my words. Those aren't Jason Rantz's words. Those aren't some political enemy's words. Those are the words of a brigadier general in the Army to a soldier in his command, saying that his actions were so severe, that his efforts to deceive, to advance his own career were so severe, that it led him to question whether he should even be in the military anymore. And per that letter, Sammy Bird was expected to respond within 7 days. Jason Rantz also got his hands on the letter that Sammy Bird, signed, sealed, delivered, sent back to the U.S. Department of Defense. In that letter, in no uncertain terms, he admits that his actions were nothing short of fraudulent. He says, I have received and read the general officer's memorandum of reprimand and fully understand the gravity and seriousness of what has transpired. I first and foremost accept full responsibility for my actions. There are no excuses for my actions, and this memorandum is not intended to make any. The intent of this memorandum is to acknowledge the fact that I submitted false and inaccurate information in my warrant officer packet to include false NCOERs in order to compensate for unrated time and meet the requirements for the program. My actions constitute nothing less than a fraud against the United States Army, plain and simple. As a senior NCO, I know that doing the right thing is not an option when it suits me, but an obligation as defined by the NCO creed I swore to support and live by. My actions took advantage of the senior NCOs and officers in my chain of command by requesting their support and then betraying their trust. My chain of command entrusted me as a senior NCO to take charge of my career in preparing my packet in accordance with regulation and the professional standards of the NCO Corps, which I failed to do. Semi Bird went on to write, again, in his own words, his own admissions, I have served for over 17 years in the armed forces. After a 15-year break in service, I volunteered to serve in the Army National Guard in 2001. I have never regretted my decision to put the uniform back on and serve the country that I love, even though my service has kept me away from my family for long periods of time. It sickens me to think that the poor choices I recently made may have overshadowed the previous years of honorable service, and most importantly, may have discredited the uniform I have proudly worn. That's stolen valor. It is stolen valor by his own admission. Are we in a place where we tolerate stolen valor because we happen to support a political candidate? Again, this isn't open for debate. I'm not debating anyone. I'm not debating trolls on the internet about whether Semi Bird did these things. Semi Bird admitted to doing these things in black and white. He admitted to doing these things long before he knew he was going to launch a gubernatorial campaign. It's not like Jason Rantz went back in time and forced Semi Bird to commit stolen valor so he could write about it in 2024 in the lead up to a primary election. Give me a freaking break. So I'm not debating it. The testimony that the Green Berets gave Jason Rantz in his article, and they're anonymous, they didn't want to use their names, I don't blame them. I have no reason to believe that these are manufactured Green Berets that Jason Rantz has trotted out here. But what they told him about, you know, people sitting injured in a bed hearing that Semi Bird was taking credit for things that they had done to get these huge high-profile awards that he brags about on his campaign page sickens me. It's disgusting. And I wouldn't tolerate it from anyone running for public office. If anything even resembling stolen valor came out about Dave Reichert, I would rescind my endorsement of him in 1 second flat. I wouldn't even give him the courtesy of a phone call. And the last time we had an incident of stolen valor in this state was State Representative Clyde Shavers, a Democrat. We talked about that every freaking day on this show, urging him to resign, urging the Democratic Party to speak up. Clyde Shavers lied about his military service, and he's still serving today as a state representative because the Democratic Party has no moral compass. I would ask the Republican Party, which continues to speak out about Clyde Shavers holding a seat in the state house, I would ask the Republican Party if they have a moral compass. If they're going to accept that our standards have fallen so low. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, Semi Bird isn't going to be the governor of Washington State. He's just not. He's still polling in single digits. I didn't do that to him. You know, I'm going to get into this in a moment. What a whiner he is. Like, welcome to the big leagues. This is the kind of criticism that comes with running a gubernatorial campaign, similar to the criticism that we levy almost every day on this show against Bob Ferguson. And then you have Dave Reichert, who's been in public service for 35 years, and he has nothing near any sort of baggage that Semi Bird has. Semi Bird is the one to blame for his own baggage, not the media for talking about it while he's running for governor. Oh, God forbid the media does its freaking job. I would also point out, when it comes to wearing around awards and commendations that he did not achieve and admitting to it, Jason Rantz even went as far as to get his hands on a picture of Semi Bird, official picture of Semi Bird in his uniform before and after the letter where he was found out to be engaging in this behavior. And Jason Rantz had a military expert review the pictures of before they found out about the stolen Valor and after, and actually point out the medals and the achievements that Semi Byrd was no longer wearing on his uniform because he didn't achieve those things. So again, let's not debate it. It happened. The question is, do you care? And the question is, to what extent does the Republican Party care about the people it continues to prop up? This has nothing to do with who I think will win. It has everything to do with right and wrong. And I already know, unless some miracle from heaven happens for Semi Byrd, that his run for governor will come to an end the first week in August. I'm very confident of that. I've been covering politics in this state for 15 years almost. So you might wonder, well, why do you care so much? You know, every time I bring up this stuff, I mean, you're going back all the things that have come up about Semi Byrd. Every time I bring one of them up, do my job, God forbid, just like I do it when it's Bob Ferguson, just like I had Mark Mullett sitting here and called him out for some of his horrible votes, but that man never broke the law. That man was never court-martialed. That man never defrauded the U.S. Army. But there are, of course, layers of things that candidates can be criticized for. So you might wonder, why do I care so much if I don't think he's going to make it past the August primary, which I don't? I care because I care about right and wrong. And it's insane to me to watch people continue to defend the behavior of someone who is entirely unfit to hold public office, whose only other public office was a school board seat that he got recalled from in a plus 20 Trump district. It kind of saddens me, to be honest. You know, I want to play, Semi Byrd went on a podcast last night with Julie Barrett of Conservative Ladies of Washington. And it's fascinating to watch the spin game that he has. True con man. I feel that now more than ever before. True con man. A grifter in the highest form. A liar. A cheater. Who has had at multiple points in the past 40 years examples of how he broke the rules, broke the law to benefit himself. But here's what Semi Byrd had to say last night about these revelations in a letter he himself wrote.
Now they're taking a reprimand that happened, a reprimand, not judicial punishment in any way whatsoever, but an administrative action that was located in a restricted file, but yet it was out there. Jason Rantz has that document. And he called me on a Memorial Day weekend on a Friday and loads that on me and then proceeds to start talking about stolen valor and says, what if I was to tell you that someone says, you didn't do what you say you did, someone else did. And I'm like, I was there. No one did a FOIA request. So that document was not brought forward legally. Someone accessed the system illegally and released the document illegally. So how Jason Rantz got it, someone should ask him. Because yeah. It wasn't done legally, according to the judge advocate general. And that'll come out.
How great is that? Not answering to what's in the document that he wrote, but he wants to twist things and put it on Jason. How did he get it? How did he get more concerned with how did he get the document that shows that I committed stolen valor, that I did something that in any normal political environment, voters would absolutely reject. I'm not going to comment on that. Deflection, master of deflection, whining, victimhood, leftist behavior, fitting for someone who used to teach DEI courses for money. So now it's about Jason Rantz. We're going to look into how Jason Rantz got the document. How dare Jason Rantz be such a good journalist that he was able to secure a document without going through a FOIA request that had information, pertinent information for voters in an important election. I'd also note, we weren't immune from his unhinged victimhood last night.
Jason Rantz is supposedly a conservative, but he uses his show, Brandy Cruz, all of them. I got in the way of Dave Riker, and so now they will ruin my life.
First of all, you're not getting in the way of Dave Riker. You're not pulling in double digits. You're not getting in the way of anyone. You exist in the race because you have every right to run, but what you have is a circle jerk of supporters who have convinced themselves, similar to Lauren Culp, that you have more support than you have when you've raised virtually no money. So you're not getting in Dave Reichert's way. Not at all. But, you know, Cole, can you play that cut for me one more time?
Jason Rantz is supposedly a conservative, but he uses his show, Brandy Cruz, all of them. I got in the way of Dave Reichert, and so now they will ruin my life.
You ruined your own life. You ruined your own life when you lied about being court-martialed and said it was your cousin with the same name. You ruined your own life when you defrauded a bank by using your father's information. You ruined your own life when you failed to return a uniform and a gun that had been issued to you by a law enforcement agency. You ruined your own life when you admittedly defrauded the U.S. military in an act of stolen valor. The media pointing out things that candidates have done while they're running for public office has been going on as long as the media has been in existence. But Semi Bird is a master of spin, master of it. I mean, I don't think he's a master. I think it's actually kind of hilarious, the amount of spin he's willing to achieve that people will continue to buy into. Walter Cronkite could rise from his grave today and personally do an expose on Semi Bird, and he would suggest Walter Cronkite isn't a reliable journalist. And for Semi Bird, and this is why it's personal today, to try to turn people against me. Semi, I've been doing this in this market for 15 years. And I have done this job with integrity. I have done this job fairly. And that's why people respect me. You're not going to come on the scene and in a year try to poison that. You can't. You can't accomplish it. You'll go into the dustbin of Washington politics after the August primary. And we'll continue to do this show, just as we have been. And I'll continue to do this reporting just as I have been for 15 years. So will Jason Rantz. So will Lori Hoffman. You notice every time something comes out about Semi Bird that is factually true and undeniable, he plays the victim. If it's Ari Hoffman who does it, Ari Hoffman's in the pocket of the establishment. If it's Jason Rantz who does it, Jason Rantz is in the pocket of the establishment. He's a Democrat. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. I do it. Brandi Cruz is socialist. She can't be trusted. She's trying to ruin my life. At some point, Semi, it's just you. At some point, it's just you. And I'll say that even before Dave Reichert entered the race, I didn't support your campaign. I might not have said so publicly, but I wouldn't have supported it for a second. You know why? Because I've had your number from the second that you lied about being court-martialed. From the second you said, that's my cousin by the same name. I had your number then, and I had your number when I listened to 911 calls of you berating dispatchers, of you throwing your wealth in the face of dispatchers. I've known who you were from day one. And I'm not playing games with you anymore. I wouldn't have supported you even if Dave Reichert hadn't gotten into the race. And in fact, if a miracle happens and you get through the August primary, I'm half tempted to run a writing campaign because you can't win and you don't deserve to be the governor of Washington State. No one who commits an act of stolen valor deserves to set foot in elected office. No different from Clyde Shavers. And your nameless, faceless trolls on social media, they can levy accusations against me. There were quite a few of them last night. Like I'm funded by a shadowy, shady wing, dark money from the Reichert campaign. I hate to break it to you. I'm supporting the Dave Reichert campaign for free. My support of him comes for free at absolutely no cost in the world. But here's the real thing. And again, it's not about Semi Bird. It's not about, I'm not going to debate you on whether he's done these things. This is a pattern of behavior. You ask yourself, I've been in the public spotlight for 20 years. I think of my friends who've been in the public spotlight for longer and they have no baggage at all. Do you have... Anybody watching and listening, ask yourself how much baggage you'd have if you ran for elected office. And then compare it to the amount of baggage Semi Bird has. At one point, it's not people being unfair to him. It's not people lying about him. At some point, you have to look at the man and say, hey, you're not who you say you are. You're not who you say you are. You might be able to get on stage and wax poetic about the Constitution. Good for you. I can memorize a book as well. But you're not the man that you pretend to be. I have your number. And even though I said a month ago, I'll support a sock puppet over Bob Ferguson, I will not, I will not lift a finger for you, Sammy Bird. If you happen to make it past the primary election, because stolen valor is where I draw the line. And attacking my friends, Ari Hoffman, Jason Rantz, who have done more for the movement of conservatism than you've ever done or will ever do. I'm not willing to, and I don't know how anybody would be willing to, sacrifice the voices and the influence of people like Ari, people like Jason, who have done so much for this state. For, again, a guy whose only accomplishment is being recalled from a school board in a plus 20 Trump district. And stealing the actions of other heroes and holding them up as his own. Give me a freaking break. The reason I care about this so much is I'm curious what Jim Walsh is going to say. Look, like, you know, people are always like, why aren't you a Republican, Brandy? Stuff like this. The party system is just so corrupt to me. I don't care who I alienate. Like, the people who watch our show and listen to our show, they know that I don't care what party it is. I don't care what party it is. And I know you guys aren't always going to agree with me and agree with everything I say. But that's the point of this show, is giving you an opportunity to think independently and to think critically outside of party structure and to realize that neither party is good for the country. The Republican Party, to me, is a means to an end in this state. And I know I'll never be invited back to another Republican event. That's fine. The Republican Party is a means to an end for what ails our state. And what ails our state is one-party rule, plain and simple. The Republican Party is the only other option, and so that's why I'm supporting their candidates right now, most of their candidates. But then we emailed Jim Walsh last night, who I have a lot of respect for. Jim Walsh, he's a very brilliant man. I'll say on the Sammy Bird front and some of these things, it's disappointing to me. Nicole reached out to him and asked if he had any comment on Sammy Bird being reprimanded for fraud and the claims of stolen valor. Jim Walsh responded, these are serious allegations. I think it's appropriate to give Mr. Bird a reasonable amount of time to respond. Nicole asks, what's a reasonable amount of time? Jim said, at least a day or two. It's reasonable to give Bird enough time to review the documents, clarify his own recollections, and perhaps produce his own records related to what happened. He doesn't have to review the documents. He knows exactly what he did. He wrote the document. He wrote the document, Jim. Again, we're not debating whether it happened. He admitted to it. Long before he was ever gonna run for anything, he admitted to it. So it happened. And if you're going to want to speak out about people like Clyde Shavers for his stolen valor, and rightfully so, he stole that seat from Republicans by lying about his military service, and it only came to light after ballots had already been sent out. Clyde Shavers has no business in Olympia. I don't care if he's a Democrat or a Republican. And Sammy Bird has no business. He can go back to teaching DEI courses for money. You want to talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing? Let's talk about someone who just a couple years ago was teaching DEI courses for money and talking about how great DEI was. Give me a break, wolf in sheep's clothing. Looking forward to some of the lawsuits I'm going to put down for things said about me on social media last night, though. Already busy at work. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Yeah, okay. Speaking of the governor's race, people are always like, why? Hi, Nicole. I know I got to get moving along here.
It's all good.
It's interesting because, you know, the Sammy Bird crowd, they can be vitriolic toward me and toward other people. Endlessly vitriolic. The second I say something back, why are you dividing? Why is there this infighting? Why are you doing that? But it's like vitriolic, you know, Lauren Culp can call me a bitch, whatever it is. And that's fine. The second I say something back, oh, we can't have this infighting.
Right.
Yeah. Give me a freaking break. Give me a break. You guys know me. Again, I've been doing this for a long time. You're still here. I like to think I've done it well and with integrity. Back even when I was on Fox, I've done my best. And so you're going to tell me that some fly-by-night guy who wants to be governor built on a campaign of lies and his memorization of the Constitution. Literally, that's all he speaks about if you've been to any of his speeches. He just waxes poetic about these big topics, never talks about what he's going to actually do to fix the state, doesn't understand at all what it would take to be an executive. But yeah, let's throw Brandy under the bus for him. Let's throw Jason Rantz under the bus for him. Let's throw Ari Hoffman under the bus for him. Okay. If that's the bus we're going to be thrown under, I'd rather be thrown under with them.
And you know what? He's had every opportunity to come out and explain some of these things. I guess he could have got ahead of these stories. We asked him about a month ago. I sent an email because we have been given multiple tips about some different things. And I said, do you have anything else that we should know about? Because, you know, get on top of it. Get in front of it.
We did give him that opportunity.
And I got nothing back.
After the bank fraud thing came out, or maybe it was right before, we said, listen, people are always putting out, this is a campaign. And that to me is the baseline thing. It's a political campaign. What did you expect? What did you expect that all of these things that you've done in your past, people wouldn't find out about? That Bob Ferguson, if you made it past the primary, that he wouldn't use his $5 million war chest to run one ad about stolen valor and all this stuff? And that people just play nice? No, it's a political campaign. You decided to run for governor of all offices. Nicole reached out to your campaign before the bank fraud thing came out in the Seattle Times. And she said, hey, let's just get it out there. Let's stop the drip, 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 drip. Is there anything else in Sammy Bird's history that we should just know about? Can we clear the air on some things? Didn't even get a response. And that's because, of course, there's other things. If they had committed to saying, no, there's nothing else, then they would be on the record with a lie when he knew there was a ton of other things in his background. That's a grifter. That's what grifting looks like. Why are some people okay being lied to, being manipulated, having somebody pretend that they're someone who they're not? Sammy Bird, go back to your $2 million house and your $80,000 car, as you told the 911 dispatchers, and teach your DEI courses. Give me a freaking break. Okay, but speaking of the governor's race, we talk way more about Bob Ferguson than Sammy Bird, but that's always the accusation is, why not talk about Bob Ferguson? Do you watch the show? We do.
Oh,
literally every day.
In that interview we played, we didn't have time to play a lot of it, but he says that. He's like, why aren't they focusing their efforts on Ferguson? We talk about him every day.
And that's easy for him to say because those people aren't watching our show. We talk about Bob Ferguson genuinely every day, like most days. And we're going to as well today. So we talked on the show last week and the week before about Bob Ferguson encouraging the Democratic Secretary of State to break the law when the two other Bobs had filed to run for office as Democrats, and he lost his mind, which I've said I would have too. I would have been livid if I was the candidate and they found two other Brandy Cruises to run against me and confuse the vote. I didn't agree with the tactic at all. However, his response to it was very, very telling when it came to who he is and what he's all about and how he would be as governor. Here is the most egregious request he made for special treatment.
After the drawing of straws on Friday afternoon, one of these Bob Fergusons will appear second on the ballot. The other will appear third on the ballot. And I appear number 13 on the ballot. So we're asking the Secretary of State to either move my name up, sort of second, essentially, above those two, or move them down below me.
Yeah. So I said that at the time. I was like, that cannot be legal. That cannot be legal. But I was an attorney. And then come to find out that Bob Ferguson hadn't just said that on cameras. His attorney sent a letter to Steve Hobbs requesting the same thing. And Steve Hobbs, I give the Washington State Standard a lot of credit because they followed up with Steve Hobbs, and he told them he was kind of shocked that Bob Ferguson had asked him to do something that he clearly couldn't do under the law. What Bob Ferguson wanted him to do is put Washington State code, administrative code, above RCW, which, as Steve Hobbs pointed out in the Washington State Standard, it wouldn't take a first-year law student to know that you can't do that. So that all happened, and we covered it. But our friend, again, Jason Rantz, I thought Jason Rantz only talked about Sammy Bird. No, Jason Rantz has also been doing an awful lot of reporting, even more reporting on Bob Ferguson. So you can continue with your lies and manipulation, but we, of course, don't believe that. So he had done an article back on May 22nd, and I hadn't heard about it until yesterday. And I was like, holy moly, we got to do this on the show today. So it turns out that the phone call that Bob Ferguson made to Steve Hobbs, again, a member of his own party, because he said it in front of the media, wrote it in a letter, a demand letter, and then he picked up the phone and he called Steve Hobbs and asked him to do this. And Steve told him no. So Jason Rantz was able to review an audio recording where Steve Hobbs was caught on a hot mic. We don't know the circumstances around where he was and why he was recorded doing this, but Jason Rantz reviewed the audio recording, and in it, Steve Hobbs says Bob Ferguson lost his mind on him. This wasn't some cordial phone call like, hey, yeah, this is a really messed up situation. Could you help me out and maybe just reverse the order on the ballot or something? No, he was angry. And it says a lot about him. This from the, again, these quotes are from this audio, the leaked audio Jason Rantz reviewed. Quote from Steve Hobbs, "It was so stressful with the three Bobs and Attorney General Bob Ferguson yelling at me. Oh, man, I was so mad," Hobbs said. "It's like I just took it because I get it. He's upset." But then Hobbs said he was asked to break the law. Quote, "And then he wanted me to reorder the ballot. I was like, I can't do it." The Secretary of State said in this audio, Ferguson responded, "Bullshit. You could push the envelope." Hobbs responded, "No, actually, I can't do that." Hobbs' retelling of the phone call was caught on an open mic. The Jason Rantz Show has reviewed the audio, and Hobbs, through a spokesperson, did not deny the veracity of the quotes. Think about that for a second. Think about that for a second. And this doesn't count towards the swear jar because I'm quoting the Attorney General. He calls the Secretary of State, asks him to break the law. Hobbs says, "I can't do that." And his response is, the Attorney General, the chief law enforcer for the state of Washington, who wants to be the governor. His response is, "Bullshit, you could push the envelope." And that's not very worrisome. You know, I just got done talking about the hypocrisy of Republicans on the stolen valor issue. How about the hypocrisy of Democrats when it comes to, oh, our democracy is in peril and all these efforts from the right wing to interfere in our democratic process? You think that they have anything to say? The state Democratic Party has anything to say or has said jack about Bob Ferguson encouraging a Secretary of State of his own party to break the law and saying, "Bullshit, you can push the envelope"? That's worse than the semi-bird stuff because Bob could actually win. So that's way worse. And he's the sitting Attorney General, pushing, encouraging, swearing at the Secretary of State in an effort to get him to break the law. So a little bit of follow-up and context. I'm sorry I hadn't seen that story. Somebody told me about it yesterday, and I was like, what? And I don't know. I'm assuming Jason didn't release the leaked audio because it would probably give away the source of it. But he reviewed it. And again, I trust Jason. He does a very impeccable job. So we'll be following up with Democrats to see if they have any issue whatsoever with what Bob Ferguson asked of Steve Hobbs. Because if we're being morally consistent here, that should be a really, really big problem. Crazy stuff. All right, if you're in the market to sell your home at some point in 2024, reach out to our friend Wes Jones of sellwithwes.com. Wes has been doing this for a long time. He's been through all the market ups and downs. He knows the real estate in this area. Bryce and Carla, Undivided fans, when they went to sell their home in Bellevue in January, they were a little worried because like rates haven't been good, so they didn't know if they were going to get top dollar. But Bryce says that Wes knew exactly what to do.
His attention to detail, he was extraordinarily detailed. And he knew our neighborhood and our properties in the neighborhood very well. He gave us a really great comp plan, showed us what other properties were selling for. And most importantly, he helped us to understand the dangers of overpricing. And we thought what we knew we could get for the property, but we didn't, you know, at the same time, he breathed an air of reality into us, said, "Look, guys, you want to get that out of the property, you're going to need to start at a certain point, and you're going to let the market come to you." And that's exactly what happened. He was exactly right about that.
Yeah, they sold their home in 7 days for over list price, and now they're living in sunny Florida. What a nice life. So if you're in the market to sell your home, visit sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Start by using their home value calculator to see how much your home is worth. Might be worth more than you think. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. All right, a reminder, this Saturday, let's hang out, shall we? Let's get together and do something. So we're going to be having a super signing event in partnership with Let's Go Washington and the Building Industry Association of Washington for Initiative 2066. We're having it in Bellevue, 222 112th Avenue Northeast. It's an outdoor signing event. Let's hope it's not raining like it is right now. I can hear the raindrops on our roof. It is pouring, but it's an opportunity to prevent Democrats in Washington State from banning natural gas. That is the path that they're going down. It would be very costly for every single home in Washington State that relies on natural gas. You could be looking at $40,000 plus out of pocket. And they can't tell the truth about what they're doing, which, as you know, is one of my underlying frustrations when it comes to some of the energy policy that they're pushing, is they'll do it, they'll lie about it, and then they'll lie about what it's going to do to working class people. If you can't come up with good energy policy without making the working class struggle even more, you should probably get back to the drawing board. So I'm going to have this event on Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're going to be there basically all day. So I'll be posting that everywhere. So stop by. But I did have Brian Haywood into the studio. This full interview right now is up on Patreon and Locals. If you want to go watch our full conversation about Initiative 2066, Brian Haywood, of course, is the man behind the other initiatives that are going to be on the ballot in November. And he's hoping to add Initiative 2066 to the list. But this is a heavy lift. They have to collect more than 400,000 signatures by July 5th. He said it helps, though, that on this topic, protecting natural gas, the idea of doing that is overwhelmingly popular with Washington voters.
I've been listening to some of the stories already, and people are like running up to the table to sign it. You don't get people going, oh, hell no, there's no one doing that.
Easy right? to explain.
Huge. And 75-80% support just in general polling. So you started out with something that's popular that everybody thinks is crazy. Number two, we've learned a lot about managing the paid signature gatherers. So we've got, and we've worked with some people now that sort of have the process down. Number three, we have 100,000+ people who signed all six of the initiatives, mm-hmm. right? And many of them that also signed the hidden gas tax initiative, that we can send out, we can send these a packet to them and ask them to cooperate with us.
Smart.
And then the fourth thing is, this is something we had this already on our website. We had you can go on and you can ask for packets and we'll send them to you. Last year, in the total 6 months that we did it, we got about 1,025 requests for packets. This year, in the first 4 days, we had over 2,000.
Oh, smokes.
So huge demand.
Wow.
And that makes a big difference.
Well, you also come in with the legitimacy of we've done this. We're going to
we've done this.
That's we're right. going to do it again.
That's right.
It was remarkable to me because I posted. I'm doing a super signing event with you guys
you.
On Saturday. You're welcome. I was fishing for a thank you. There, you delivered.
But I'm actually going to be gone at a family reunion, so I was hoping to be there with you. But,
oh, so you were supposed to do it, and you're gone. So now I have to do it.
We needed star power. We needed someone that was beautiful and famous.
Thank you. I was also trying to get my ego stroked. So I posted it that I was going to be there on Saturday, and you should look at this post because the number of people who said, already signed it, was shocking to
love
me.
It was shocking to me.
So you started when?
It's been maybe 5 or 6 days ago, right, that we actually got it.
And when will we start to know whether you're on pace?
So we got our first, we got like a 3 day, we got about, we'll post the numbers on our website.
Yeah.
And win or lose, like we're going to post everything so everybody has full disclosure. In the first 3 days, we had like 11,000 signatures that came in that we've scanned in.
Yeah.
We'll know our first batch will probably be on Thursday from the paid signature gatherers. And that's what you see first. And of course, the challenge always is that volunteers have the paper out there and you don't know where they're mm-hmm. at.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we'd encourage people is even if you've got a sheet and it's got 13 people on it, send it to us or let us know and we'll pick it up or whatever. Like get it in because we need to get them scanned. And timing is much more of an issue now than it was last year.
Yeah, don't hoard them until the last minute and send them in because nobody knows
where
you're at.
Right.
And I just want to talk about some of these procedural things because it is interesting and it's a big lift. But if you're able to do it again, man, the Democrats are really going to hate you even more.
and I'm not trying to do this to be hated by the Democrats, although that might be a benefit. Really what I want is there's been no check or no balance against just whatever crazy idea they had in their head, 2 a.m, Jay Inslee twisting arms, we're going to push this thing through and there's nothing anybody can do about it, even our own constituents. I even heard a story, there were several Democrat legislators who got up and made a speech and said, my constituents don't want this. Overwhelmingly, they don't want it, mm-hmm. but I have to vote for it.
Wow.
And that's the whole reason for the initiative process. When you have even the party in control, the members are doing things that they don't want to do because their own constituents don't want to do it, but Jay Inslee does.
Yeah, I heard stories about the arm twisting happening. So for people who aren't familiar with what we're talking about, 1589, which passed this legislative session and was really, they got the votes in the wee hours of the morning and pushed this thing. So when you look at the process, like if I'm just looking at it as an American, as a Washingtonian, like here's this policy that's overwhelmingly unpopular to try to move away from natural gas. Here's a policy that's going to cost hardworking people $40,000 to electrify their homes. Here's a policy that is even so unpopular among your ranks that you have to call in the governor to like basically threaten people overnight
right.
And it's a policy that you attached an emergency clause to
right.
for the purpose of preventing a referendum. Like, even if I hate natural gas and I want everyone to use electricity, like that stinks to me.
It does. The referendum would have cut. If you do a referendum, you only need like 200,000 signatures.
Half, yeah.
And that's something that's doable within a short time frame. If everything goes well, we could have 200,000 signatures, you know, in less than a month.
Mm-hmm.
But when you what's so emergency about this that it has to have an emergency clause?
Nothing.
And it seems that since COVID, everything has an emergency clause. They've basically stripped out the referendum from the Constitution by putting an emergency clause in anything significant.
They did that with cap gains, I think it was. There might have been even another one that just like hidden. you can't. Yeah, you cannot say that that's an emergency. So it's this end route around the voters that's really horrifying.
Yeah.
One party rule, and then let's also strip people of their ability to tell us we don't like what you did.
Right.
Yeah, if not for anything else, that's a reason to sign Initiative 2066 and to send a message to them that, no, you can't do this in the wee hours of the morning. Lie to us about it. Lie to us about the impact it'll have. Lie to us about what you're trying to do. Make it an emergency clause so we can't run a referendum on it. We're not going to tolerate it. I don't know why that's so controversial to say, look what one party is doing and one party rule is doing to our state and taking away this sort of they're supposed to work for us. It's we the people, government of the people, by the people, for the people. They have forgotten that. So anyway, again, I'm going to be in Bellevue this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Collecting signatures for Initiative 2066. Please stop by if you have not signed already and make sure you put pen to paper because we are running out of time. That full interview with Brian Haywood is up right now. No paywall at all. So you can go to Patreon or Locals and you can watch the full thing. We dive into a lot of stuff in there. All right. I have encouraged you guys. If you're, you know, now you got to pinch your pennies to be able to save to electrify your home. Well, if you need to save a little bit of money, I've encouraged you to take the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. I've heard from so many of you just great stories about what the First Mark Challenge has done for you and being able to save money. Ben and his family, they saved $1,500 a year. Casey in Covington says First Mark saved them 37% off their auto quote. Jackie says that when she reached out to First Mark and did the First Mark Challenge, they were at least able to tell her, hey, your insurance is exactly where it needs to be. And so she had some peace of mind in knowing that. Mike and I are members of the First Mark family. It really is. It's just great to have an insurance broker that's local on your side, especially, you know, we were in a situation where we were getting renewal notices that our rates were going to go way up. So we went with First Mark. They managed all that for us. And then the Undivided podcast is also insured through First Mark. So we're all members of the First Mark family. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. All right. Pierce County wants to try what King County did in dealing with the homeless crisis. If that sounds like a bad idea to you, it sounds like a bad idea to me too. But let's give them an opportunity to show that they can do it better. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. All right, this article came out in the Tacoma News Tribune, and I'd heard some whispers of this. We know that when King County moved to a regional homelessness approach that was sort of pushed on us for a long time, this is the solution, this is the end-all be-all, they started the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. It hasn't made a bit of difference. The only difference it's made is in spending way more money than we were previously spending. And now King County has seen a 23% increase in homelessness from 2022. Spending more money, regional homelessness approach. All it was is it created more government bureaucracy and red tape, more six-figure salaries, and hasn't done anything to actually get people off the streets. And it's been a complete boondoggle. So then we go down to Pierce County. This is the article from the Tacoma News Tribune. Reality check. Why will it take 2 more years and $1 million to create a regional group to address homelessness? Well, that is a good question indeed. So Pierce County is considering also regionalizing its homelessness approach. But as expected, bureaucracy has gotten in the way. There's been delays. It's costing a ton of money. So here's a little bit from the News Tribune. Pierce County is offering $1 million for consulting services to design and plan implementation for a regional coalition that has been in the works since 2022. As part of its comprehensive plan to end homelessness, which was established in March 2022, Pierce County is bringing local leaders and stakeholders to the table as a way to coordinate efforts to reduce homelessness across jurisdictions. The latest coalition is being called the Unified Regional Approach. The URA held its inaugural meeting April 12th, hosting representatives from more than a dozen cities across the country. Is this starting to sound familiar to you? It's starting to sound familiar to me. Representatives from Pierce County Council also attended, including council members Ryan Mello and Janny Hitchin, who convened the meeting. In an interview with the News Tribune, Hitchin said the URA is being established because of the county's current response to homelessness being a patchwork of community organizations, agencies, and jurisdictions working without coordination. She said the approach has allowed people to slip through the cracks of the region's social safety net. So let me get this straight. You're not happy with the homelessness response right now, and so instead you want to mirror King County's homelessness response, which has inarguably been a much bigger disaster and has not succeeded in helping people out of the throes of addiction and mental health and squalor. That's interesting. There's a lot of words in there that sound very familiar if I recall to when the King County Regional Homelessness Authority was being convened. That word, we're convening stakeholders because people are slipping through the cracks. Like, this is the same stuff. Let's see. The Tacoma News Tribune goes on to say, Hitchin said the consultation process could take up to 2 years after a third-party consultant is chosen at what is estimated to be the beginning of July. So they've got a study to do studies, to do consultants, to do studies to help people who are living on the streets. Got it. According to the posted application, the consulting firm chosen will be tasked to design the scope of work and organizational structure for the URA and implement the preferred design of the URA. All this to help people living on the streets. When we just played a video on the show yesterday of Andrea Suarez just walking up to a lady, shaking her and saying, I'm taking you to detox. And she did that with no taxpayer money. They go on. Hitchin said she believes the consultation process, while potentially lengthy, would be necessary to build trust among the many government, non-government organizations and tribes that would be part of the URA. She described the county's role as a participant instead of the driver. Instead of using previous models to dictate the structure of the URA, Hitchin said the county hopes to build a unique congregation built on trust and relationships. She said doing so might require moving at, quote, government speed. Well, that's a terrifying prospect. Now, there is some people who aren't buying into this whole thing. Puyallup City Council member Ned Whitting is one of them. He spoke to the News Tribune. He said that their comprehensive plan to end homelessness implementation advisory board and the plan's steering committee, he's part of that. He said after the inaugural URA meeting, he was skeptical it would be effective in getting unhoused people off the streets. He was critical of the $1 million that the county wanted to pay a consultant. He questioned whether that was a good use of regional resources. He pointed out that the first goal named in the plan announced in 2022 was to create a unified homelessness system, but it has been 2 years since the county made steps to achieve that goal. He said, we plan, but we don't act. Puyallup City Council member Ned Whitting is apparently the only one with a little bit of common sense. Now, look, on the homelessness crisis, obviously we can't do anything. We've got ourselves into quite the pickle, and people are dying and suffering on our streets every single day at higher rates. But when you look at what King County has done, and the Regional Homelessness Authority, where the first CEO just resigned, you know, they weren't even paying their contractors on time. It was really just a way to be able to funnel money to entities and organizations that Democrats in control in King County wanted to funnel them to. And it hasn't solved the underlying issue. We've talked about this. Why would you solve a problem if it meant all your salaries would go away? So they have no incentive to solve the problem. So now Pierce County, which I would say is more of a common sense place, certainly, is looking at doing the exact same thing. Well, why would it be any different? Now, certainly, if you had a leader in Pierce County at the helm of it, who understood the problems in King County and were willing to hold people accountable, were willing to audit resources and outcomes, that would be better. But keep in mind, Pierce County is electing a new Pierce County executive. Now, if it were Bruce Dammeyer who was going to lead this thing when it finally got off the ground, I might have some semblance of hope that it would be done in a way that was fiscally responsible. But one of the people convening this is Ryan Mello, who's as progressive as it gets, I don't think has shown any willingness to be fiscally responsible. And he's running for Pierce County executive. So that does not give me a lot of hope to have a progressive person, if he's elected Pierce County executive, run what will become a boondoggle of government waste and misfunction. I think Kelly Chambers, I don't know if she's the only other person in the race, but Kelly Chambers is running as a Republican. I would have a little more faith in her ability to be fiscally responsible, because that's the big thing for me, is that if people are giving you millions of dollars of their hard-earned money, right, they expect outcomes. They're giving it to you. They're agreeing to taxes because they want to help people. They have empathy for people who are living on the streets. They also realize the societal issues that come along with that, and crime and all these things. So if you're not willing to make sure every single dollar that's going into that program is helping people in need, then you're just failing. So I think that's my big fear, is you're going to do this. If voters elect someone like Ryan Mello, who doesn't have a track record of fiscal responsibility, Pierce County is going to end up with the exact same situation that King County has found itself in. All right, that segment was brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. We'll get to our daily show poll coming up next. First, I've talked about my success on the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic program. I've lost 40 pounds, totally dropped my COVID weight. I've described it to people like this: 60 days of hard work. The program's not easy. It's not a magic trick. They go in, they kind of reprogram your brain to eat better foods in the right portions. You do that for 60 days, and then you get to kind of move on with your life, and you get to, you know, yes, make better healthy lifestyle decisions, certainly, but also in the same vein, you get to enjoy your life. And I mean, I had nachos the other night, and I was like, this is great. And I'm still on maintenance for the program. So I really recommend, if you feel like you've put on a little weight, or you're just not looking and feeling your best, or you just want to live a healthier lifestyle, reach out to Dr. Ryan Coogan and his team at eastsideweightlossclinic.com. That's eastsideweightlossclinic.com. Schedule a free 15-minute consultation. Okay. I don't even know if I need to get to the Daily Subscriber Show poll today. Oh my God. But of course, I talked about stolen valor in the Daily Subscriber Show poll on Patreon, Twitter, and X, because I think it shocks me that depending on the political party of someone running for office, we're willing to excuse stolen valor or condemn stolen valor. How is that morally consistent? So I asked you guys, would you vote for a candidate who committed stolen valor, assuming there is ample evidence to prove the claim? 97% of people on Patreon say no. I did offer this option. I said, one of the options I gave was, honestly, it depends on the politics. Because look, if somebody wants to be just totally frank and say, yeah, you know, if it's someone whose politics I agree with, I'm willing to accept a little more moral shortcoming, then totally fine. Bill Swick, he will be what he has been, a liar, thief, and a fraud. Why would he be any different in elected office? Whew. Laru says, what can we do to bring Dave Riker back? Dave Riker hasn't gone anywhere. Just because the GOP endorsed Sammy Byrd, I mean, that really hasn't, to me, that doesn't change anything. So Dave Reichert's doing his thing. He's staying. I do admire Dave Riker for staying out of the fray. I don't know if he said anything about the Sammy Byrd debacle, but he's just sort of doing his thing, which I think is what we need. We need, even I need at times, an adult in the room. I feel like Nicole is my adult in the room. Like, if I really, I was waiting last night.
Wow, I take that as a compliment.
I was like, well, because, you know, I get off track a lot, but I was just fighting the trolls on Twitter last night, as I do sometimes. I miss the days where I was only fighting the far left trolls. Now I got to fight the far right trolls. But the end result is the far left trolls and the far right trolls just block me, which cleans up my timeline quite a bit.
There you go.
So, it's all trolls. But I expected, so I half expected a phone call from you to be like, okay, enough is enough.
No, I learned my lesson.
I used to have this digital producer at Fox who was like, Brandy, two responses maximum. Tyler. Oh.
That's
two responses maximum. And that was actually a good rule, unless I was, you know, at home and stuff.
I think that, I mean, you just got to remember who's there. I mean, we have a lot of people that come to our defense. So I feel like they go to Twitter just to defend, and I appreciate that. But for the most part, it's a collection of trolls.
It is. Nameless, faceless. I always love how the people who have something to say don't mm-hmm. use their face or their name. So it's sort of like, but I found out who one of them was because he had admitted it, and he was like a... Anyway, not going to get into that because I've got a pending legal action I'm pursuing. Okay, where was I? Daily Subscriber Show Poll, sorry. Danielle says, no, I wouldn't. My great-grandfather's grandfather and father all served, and I would be absolutely livid and on a warpath if a single soul tried to take credit for their sacrifices and rightful hard-earned medals. Thievery of any kind is bad. Stolen valor is unacceptable and unforgivable. And I think one of the things that bothers me about this, too, is Sammy Byrd did enough for his country. Without having to embellish it, right? Without having to put on medals and commendations that he didn't earn. Serving your country is enough. Deciding to go back to serving your country, if I could give him a compliment, deciding to go back to serving your country in 2001 with the state of everything going on, you know, serving in Operation Iraqi Freedom, that's enough. You don't have to embellish it. And I felt the same way about Clyde Shavers. Clyde Shavers was in the military, and what he did was enough without having to embellish it for what reason. So that's also the disappointing part. It's not like the sense that Stolen Valor isn't just someone who claims to have been a veteran and never was, or served and never was. It's also people who embellish their record for a reason I just don't understand. Mario says, absolutely not. It speaks to incredibly poor character. It's shameful. Carrie says, if it ended up with Byrd and Ferguson on the ballot, then we'd have two self-serving, law-breaking hypocrites to choose from. Both in their own ways. But if you have to lie to lift yourself up, I just, you know, that's why on this show, like, I'm always honest when I do something wrong. I'm like, if the day ever comes many moons from now where I decide to run for office, like, no one can say I ever hid anything or lied about anything.
That is true.
Like, when I was speeding at 91 miles an hour and got a ticket, I'm like, I deserved that. I was, in fact, speeding at 91 miles an hour. So, you know, there's nothing you're going to be able to find in my background that I haven't spoken about publicly.
Yeah, we showed them Miami party pictures.
Yeah, I used to party in Miami. That's just ridiculous. Okay, let's just get one from locals, and then we'll head on to comments and questions. Why is my computer? Todd Welch, I'm retired from the Navy. I served in Afghanistan. I would never support any veteran who lied about their military service. I couldn't care less about the political party, honestly, is my first priority of any candidate. If Semi Byrd claimed awards and honors that he did not receive, then I would not only not support him, but campaign against him. I didn't know that about you, Todd Welch. Thank you for your service to our country. All right, I think you get the gist. A lot of you, let me see here. Okay, yeah. All right, let's get to questions and comments, shall we? Or should we do, yeah, let's remind people about the webinar first. Okay, Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital is having one of his free live webinars coming up this Thursday, tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. It's totally free, no obligation. But what they're going to be talking about at this webinar is inflation. They call it the silent portfolio killer. So if you are saving for retirement, nearing retirement, and you're kind of freaked out, like, wow, what I saved, is it going to go far enough with this inflationary environment? Zach is going to talk to you all about that, him and his team at Bulwark Capital. They specialize in managing risk and also protecting retirement portfolios, which has never been more critical. So you'll learn about inflation, how it could affect your retirement, and also how Bulwark Capital is always seeking to lower risk, lower cost, give you as much upside as possible. So don't miss the special inflation webinar this Thursday afternoon, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. Sign up, knowyourriskradio.com. Totally free, knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed past performance. Doesn't guarantee future results. Trek 24244. Go to knowyourriskradio.com. All right, questions and comments, shall we? Wow, we got some super chat. I thought either people were going to be PO'd at me today. I didn't swear at all.
Well, just when you quoted somebody.
Yeah, I quoted the Attorney General of Washington State.
That's it.
Even on Fox 13, we were allowed to swear if we were quoting a government official who swore.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know
in writing, but right. The FCC would, there's certain things about that, but it would depend what it is, obviously. Okay. They probably wouldn't let me drop an F-bomb. But yes. Okay, Bill Biz with a $20 super chat. Regardless of Semi Byrd's political positions, he cannot believe that his candidacy has a positive impact on the election of any Republican candidates. Yeah. Ghost Protocol says, this sucks. I have to withdraw my support. Such a damn shame. I actually got texts from a few people last night who said that they were going to withdraw their support of Semi Byrd as well. There just has to be a bottom, right? And again, you can believe, like, is everyone out to get him? Are you really, that's what you believe? Jason Rantz is out to get him. Ari Hoffman is out to get him. I'm out to get him. When he first sat down in our studio, Nicole and I loved him. We're like, wow, he's good. He is good. And then we found out about the lies and the 911 calls, right, which spoke to his character. And that's why I said, it's like, I wouldn't have supported him from that moment on because I knew who he was.
T says, I was concerned about his over the top charm. This explains
yes.
it, which I mean, he is very charming. He's a very nice guy.
Sure. <Just kidding. laughs> Captain Cranky Pants, if your reason for serving is to get medals, then you're doing it wrong. Yeah. Greg Anderson, why is it that other media outlets, TV, radio, and print, do not cover these Semi Byrd issues, nor do they cover the fact that Bob Ferguson asked an elected official to break the law? Yeah, that's a good question. Very good question. Why you wouldn't ask why the Attorney General swore at the Secretary of State and encouraged him to break the law? We need to do an expose on all the media outlets that have not covered that story.
I will say that one is very surprising. The Semi Bird thing, it appears that they're not even taking him as a, because he's not the leading candidate, they kind of dismiss all the other candidates. They've done a little bit on Mark Mullett, a little bit, but that's about it. They've really stuck to Dave and Bob.
Yeah, for sure. Shelly Humbert, did you do any investigation of Dave Reichert, same level as other candidates, or were you already in the bag for Reichert, so didn't bother? Here's the thing. We don't set out to, besides sometimes like a criminal background check if someone's new to the political scene, right? You don't set out to unless you get a tip. Like a lot of what happens in these things, you know, some of the claims against Semi Bird were so old that you'd have to go actually to an office. You'd have to know about them to find the documents on them. So some of these things you never would have if you just set about like getting a DD-214 or whatever. It never would have been in there. So unless you know about it and know to ask someone about it and get a tip about it, and I haven't gotten anything like that on Dave, anything like that, besides these crazy claims that people thrown out that he didn't catch the Green River Killer. Well, we taped an interview with a state lawmaker whose sister was killed by the Green River Killer, who said, yeah, Dave was the investigator on the case. I don't know where those claims are coming from. So yeah, we look into things that come in, but there has to be veracity to them. And if there's something in someone's background, we need to sometimes know what that is in order to go looking for it. But yeah, I'm not in the bag for Dave. I've told Dave to his face at events that I'm not even supporting him for him. I'm supporting him because I don't want Bob Ferguson to win. I have no loyalty to Dave. People were saying on Twitter, I'm being paid by the Dave Reichert campaign. Is that an option? Because we're just doing all this for free, right? So it's just ridiculous. It's not about Dave Reichert to me. It's about winnability. It's a look at the odds, essentially. Mm-hmm. And we're betting on the best candidate to be able to win. Now, I think he would do by far a better job than Bob Ferguson. This is all built on my fear of Bob Ferguson becoming governor, not some loyalty to Dave. I, besides covering him in the media, I didn't have a personal relationship with Dave at all before he ran for governor. I hadn't seen him in years. Right. So it's just ridiculous.
It's a no Bob situation.
It's a no Bob situation. And it's also, I love it how some of these people think, oh, the only possible way you could support someone other than Semi Bird is if they're paying you. It's like, really? Who's paying you, the Democrats, to say that? It's crazy. Yeah. Noreen Anderson, $20 super chat. Preach, Brandy, preach us. Erica Dorning with a $4.99 super chat. I find it funny that these are the people who love the military yet defend Bird's stolen valor. They'd never defend it if it was a Democrat. That's all I need to know. Mm-hmm. Jay with a $49.99 super chat for Jason.
$4.99.
No. Oh, no. Jay has a $49.99 super chat.
Oh, yeah, it was. $49.99. And it was just, it wasn't for Jason to give Jason the money, but there was applause. It's just that I can't show you those in our little chat, but he had an applause.
Oh, so I don't have to give the $50 to Jason? No. Because you know what?
I encourage you not to.
Don't. Because as much as I love him, he just won $50,000 on a slot machine in Vegas. So he doesn't need the money.
No.
No.
He gets none of this. None of our money.
No. Old Sub Sailor with a $20 super chat. Dave Reichert is the best choice for the state. No doubt about it. He has a history of bridging the gap, crossing the aisle, just what the state needs. And people want to call him a rhino. You know what I want? I want someone who can think outside the party structure. I don't need them to agree with me 100% of the time. If you want someone that's hook, line, and sinker for a political party, that's kind of cringy if you ask me. Like, I want somebody who can think for themselves. Matt Gilbert, $5 super chat. Brandy, you're always welcome to speak at the Matt Cave. Okay. If all my speaking events get canceled, I will happily come speak for you. However, I do have a fee. On homelessness, Todd Welch, Snohomish County stopped recording why someone was homeless in 2019. How do you solve homelessness without knowing why? I didn't know that.
That's heard that as well. That's why I put
we
it
should,
in there.
Yeah, we should
look into it.
Yeah, make a little note of that. That's interesting. Final one, Mo Sterling. Hopefully they will be working on the mental health system and getting more beds and healthcare counseling availability. Yeah, you got to, like, look, do a regional approach, but make sure it works. Definitely don't look to King County for what they did, because that was a straight up disaster. All right, good questions and comments. We're going to skip national today, and we'll get to a double dose of unbelievable tomorrow. We had a good one today, but I do have some tapings, and so I got to be out somewhat on time. We do, however, have a closing sanity check. I knew I liked Dennis Quaid. Handsome man, first of all. Oh, what is the movie he was on with the twins?
Parent Trap.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Sorry, babe. I'm married and I love you. But Dennis Quaid in Parent Trap. Ooh la la. Anyway, he was on with Piers Morgan, and besides his final statement, really echoed some of my sentiments when I talked on the show yesterday about why I've sort of been coming around to the likelihood of voting for Donald Trump.
I was ready not to vote for Trump until what I saw is more than politics. I see a weaponization of our justice system.
Yeah.
And a challenge to our Constitution, us as Americans, that I don't think we're going to have. And, you know, Trump is the most investigated person probably in the history of the world. Mm. And they haven't been able to really get him. People might call him an asshole, but he's my asshole.
That has been your sanity check for today. Wow, we needed it. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback, for letting me rant occasionally on the show, spill all my feelings out. We do appreciate every single one of you for your continued support of this show, even if you might not agree with me all the time. I welcome disagreement. What I will not welcome are lies, liars, personal attacks. That's never gonna fly with me. Sometimes you just have to own up to what you've done, especially if you want to be in public service.
Really quick, we got a late super chat. Robert Parker says, there is no excuse for Stolen Valor. Bird needs to immediately resign. The Bird Docs website makes the documents openly available. That's for $5. So throwing it in there.
Thank you for that super chat. We'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon.